Brazil looked like Brazil, and the USMNT rolls on. And hello, welcome to day 9 of the World Cup Daily Recap. I'm Adrian, the guy who will get you through most of this. And let's get after it. Scotland and Morocco. Great matchup, really. Morocco had the better of the play for sure. But there were moments where Scotland would get forward and cause issues for Morocco's back line. And you thought, hey, maybe Scotland can get something out of this match. Anyway, I think if Steve Clarke could do things over again, he wouldn't have started so negatively for Scotland. Clearly, the game plan was to contain, and leaving someone like Ben Ganondoke on the bench was an eyebrow raiser for sure, but was in the name of being more solid defensively. Well, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? And Scotland got hit early, just 70 seconds in. And it was that man once again. Same dude who scored that beauty against Brazil, Saibari, this time with a powered finish, just absolutely smashing it past Angus Gunn. It was past him before he could react. And you got to think, is Saibari going to be that dude from this tournament? That guy that sort of elevates his profile? I mean, he's already known, but will he elevate his profile and become that sought-after player? They would continue to dominate the ball in that first half with Scotland not showing much of anything at all, but they came alive right before the break, Scotland that is, trying to break into the box, creating a couple of decent chances, but not getting anything on target, and nothing very dangerous either. In the second half, with Tierney going off injured, Ganondoke came into the pitch and basically immediately made everyone wonder once again why he didn't start, why Clarke almost gave too much respect to Morocco. In the end, Morocco were the winners. Boadi really impressed me once again. Guy hasn't even turned 19 yet, and he's starting and flourishing in the midfield. Also, shout out Brahim Diaz, who I thought was also very, very good in this one, beyond the assist, of course. Nusair Mazraoui was also excellent in defense. One thing I will say, however, John McGinn maybe could have had a penalty. Looked like he was fouled in the box when he skipped past his man, El Ainawi, got absolutely none of the ball, and some decent contact on John McGinn, a little hip on hip. The only argument that could be used against it is a debate as to whether McGinn would have been able to get to the ball or not as he skipped past him, but the defender was late and clumsy. Very close one. Well, 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 Brazil and Haiti. Haiti, a team that I think endeared themselves to anyone who watched their match against Scotland, in which they were pretty unlucky to not come away with anything from that match, losing due to a deflected goal. I think that nobody really expected them to do amazingly well against Brazil, Haiti, that is. Sure, their attackers are talented, but the worry was always going to be how they defend against Rafinha, Vinicius Jr., and Cunha. That's a whole different game they're playing. Oh yeah, and Cunha started ahead of Igor Thiago. And to be fair to them, they did well for a while. Rafinha was always threatening, and he was offside for a couple of chances. One he converted, the other he missed one-on-one. But the breakthrough came thanks to Vinicius Jr. taking responsibility into his own hands. His attempt was saved by Placide, but Cunha was there to bundle it in. The ball was hit off of him and into the goal, but you surf no matter what, right? From there, Brazil continued to play well, pressing well to win the ball, and Vinny quickly released Matheus Cunha. His left-footed strike was an absolute peach, straight into that top corner at the near post. Feels like a lot of near post finishes in this World Cup, no? But cue more surfing. It was a Vinny masterclass in the first half, and throughout the match, really. He was involved in every single goal, and in the first half stoppage time, Paqueta played him through, and he slotted it under Placide for 3-0. This Brazilian side was looking better. Despite losing Rafinha to injury, so we'll monitor that. Haiti came very close in the second half, Danilo having to clear an attempt off of the line, and having switched from 5 in the midfield to 4, Haiti did look better in that second half. They were getting up the pitch regularly. Bellegarde, my baller, was whipping dangerous balls into the box at times, but it was still Brazil in the ascendancy. It was still Brazil carving out the most dangerous of opportunities. There were some close calls, like Endrick scoring, but getting it called back for offside and having to go through the embarrassment of doing his full choreographed gun celebration before immediately realizing nobody is celebrating with him because the flag is up. Also, Vinny and Martinelli combining, funny hearing those names together combining so well, with Martinelli hitting the bar, although I think it was called back as well for Vinicius Jr. being offside. What we got from this match was a world-class Vinicius Jr., and Brazil has to have a world-class Vinicius Jr. to have any shot at winning this World Cup. If he's in this kind of game-changing form, they have a chance. So Brazil and Morocco top this group. Haiti, unfortunately, are eliminated. Group D, the USA, one of the teams that everyone had their eye on given how they performed against Paraguay, they were so convincing. Australia, they were underestimated by everyone and they dealt with Turkey very handily. Now, the United States was without one of their best players in Christian Pulisic after that calf injury that brought him off at halftime against Paraguay, so he didn't make the matchday lineup, and Ricardo Pepi started in his place. So that's a pretty big change, right? However, a change in the lineup still had the same outcome, an early own goal. Not sure what that defender was doing, Burgess, as his right boot would have cleared that away easily with an instep, but it went on the outside of his left. But he has a record of this. That was his fourth own goal since November of 2025. Somebody check his bank accounts. This man is a mercenary. Kidding, of course. But hey, there was always a threat from Australia. Lecky almost equalized just seconds later. Couldn't quite bend it enough with the outside of his boot. Maybe Burgess can help him out there as he converted with the outside of his. But the USA controlled this match exceptionally well. There was only a couple of minutes in the first half where Australia were able to get forward and close to Matt Freese's box. The rest of the time, it was potch ball, players playing so fluidly, rotating in and out of each other's positions, overlapping fullbacks, pressing Australia very high. In possession, it was very enjoyable to watch how McKenny, Freeman, and Dest would combine down the right in that first half, and Dest would end up winning what was an important free kick. They'd play it low to Dest at the edge of the box, and while his shot was blocked, Alex Freeman would contest for the looping ball with Beach and was able to head it in for 2-0. And it was really a smothering performance once again at that point, just like it was against Paraguay. That word smothering really is the best way to describe how they play when they are at their best, as they were in the first half. In the second half, however, beyond a Balogun chance where he dwelled on the ball too long and a couple of counters that didn't come to anything, Australia showed a lot more control over this match and were dominant at the end of it. You had Aaron Kunda as a threat on the counter, you had a few very close calls for potential Australia penalty kicks, but ultimately the ref making the right call and not giving them, I think, but they were getting close. You had Giria trying to smash a cutback in the box from a scrambly corner and missing the ball. In general, Australia's quality in the final third was majorly lacking in this match, whether it was erring on the ball like Giria did, misplaced crosses that went all the way through the box, strikes that would look more at home if the Seahawks were occupying the Seattle Stadium instead. So in the end, the Americans won, and they kept a clean sheet, which has been hard for them to come by of late, and they booked their place in the knockout round. But did they win the group? There was a potential, depending on what happened in this match, but we need to go to Paraguay versus Turkey with Dan Riccio.
Yeah, Adrian, this one would be an emotionally charged match with both teams trying to forget the first matches they had in this edition of the World Cup. And Paraguay would be the team to start that way as they came out incredibly aggressive in their press and really put Turkey under duress on their heels. And it created a turnover. Matias Galarza collects it, and from about 25 yards out, he hammers one low and into the far post, curling away from the Turkey keeper. 1-0 Paraguay in the first minute, second minute, 65 seconds in. It was an incredible start. They could not have drawn it up any better. From there, Paraguay went into their typical defend and counter mode, and this first half was played at a breakneck speed. Turkey on attack with a ton of possession, and the Paraguayans on the counter, going back the other way and getting chances of their own. It was an entertaining watch. And it really started to take on the same vibe as Turkey's first match of the tournament against Australia, where they had a ton of possession, a ton of shots directed at goal, but really nothing to show for it. And Paraguay managed to get tempers flaring. You know, the frustrations were building up for Turkey with all of their missed opportunities. And Paraguay, you know, flopping around and doing their thing, and it worked. They got the emotions way up in this game, but it would eventually backfire. Towards the end of the first half, there's another post-whistle confrontation, and Miguel Almirón says something while covering his mouth, directed at a Turkish player, and that, in these rules, is an automatic red card. These are anti-abuse regulations brought in for this tournament, and Miguel Almirón is the first player to get sent off for it, which will make him forever a part of World Cup pub trivia. So Paraguay were down to 10 men and still another half to play. Surely Turquía would level this game, right? Right? No. Actually, no. The game would finish 1-0. The best chance for Turquía came in the 89th minute. A cutback for Can Ozun is stopped by Gil. And it is not only a big save that saves the game for Paraguay, it also eliminates Turquía from the 2026 World Cup. Which is pretty wild because there was a lot of hype for the Turks coming into the tournament. You might even call them a co-favorite here in Group D. And they're going into the third match without anything to play for. They're going to end up as one of the biggest tournament disappointments. In total, per live score, they had over 2 expected goals in this match. They directed 32 shots at goal. Only 5 made it on target. They had 12 blocked by Paraguayan players and 15 missed the net. Their finishing was simply not good enough, and that's the story of their tournament. So heading into the final match of Group D, USA has topped the group because they've beaten Australia, they've beaten Paraguay. Nobody can get ahead of them in this group. While Turkey, they are bottom and they have been eliminated. It leaves a matchup between Australia, who currently sits second on goal difference, ahead of Paraguay, both teams on 3 points, but they will battle it out on the final match day for Group D for second spot in this group and the chance at a round of 32 matchup. Back to you, Adrian.
There it is, the 9th day of the World Cup daily recap. Crazy, and there's still so much of the tournament to go. Check out the 90th minute on YouTube, linked below in the description, for their preview show today. And other than that, I'll see you here tomorrow for another one. Later, guys.